deals with fish, spawning checkpoints. As far as you can see.
Well, that's the voice of Fishermen Union Representative Joy Thorkelson observing the number of sockeye allowed to die before reaching the spawning grounds. It's raising some big questions about how DFO goes about managing the Skeena salmon stocks. And Daybreak's George Baker has more on this story this morning. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Caroline.
Well, take me to where Joy Thorkelson is observing these fish.
Yeah, she's in Grand Isle, BC at what's called the Fulton Fence on the Fulton River, which feeds Babine Lake. Babine Lake is a major spawning ground for sockeye. It produces the largest sockeye salmon run on the Skeena River, and Babine Lake itself is fertile ground for juvenile salmon who feed on the massive lake, BC's longest, by the way, for a full year. Fulton sockeye will spawn in that river, move over to Babine Lake for a year, ride their way up the Babine River, down the Skeena, and push right into the ocean. So they have quite a journey ahead of them after they've spawned. When they come back, they have another challenge. They're met by several dam-like fences, including the Babine River Dam, where they're counted, and the Fulton Fence. And Fulton is incredibly important for Skeena salmon, one of the largest spawning channels in the world. The Fulton Fence is almost like a dam where metal panels open and close across the Fulton River, allowing water and salmon to pass through on a scheduled basis. It's here where salmon are counted by DFO staff to ensure there is a correct number of males and females.
And why do DFO staff count them?
Well, there's a scientific reason behind this, but let's break it down very simply. Too many sockeye and already fertilized eggs is a bad combination. Those eggs can be destroyed if they're knocked around by new spawning sockeye. And there may not be enough males or females to replenish that stock if that happens. And that would mean less fish making it to the ocean and continuing the sockeye life cycle.
Well, let's get back to Joy Thorkelson and what she's seeing at the Fulton Fence.
Well, it's as if there's a river that has turned crimson because thousands of sockeye are just ramming themselves into the fence. They turn that color, by the way, that color of crimson and when they've lost their silver sheen as they make their way up the Skeena. These fish, when they're that color, are ready to spawn, but the Fulton River has reached its limit of sockeye, and there's no more room at the, for lack of better terms, the spawning motel.
So why does Joy Thorkelson care so much that the sockeye are getting up to Fulton Fence but not making it through?
Well, the Fulton sockeye run is what the ocean commercial fishermen are allowed to target. And this year's run was above historical runs, and fishermen were readying their nets for a big year. And coming off a bad 2013, this was their chance to make up some funds. Except they didn't get the chance, and they were only allowed to catch about 18% of that run. And so it's Joy Thorkelson's job to react to this. She's a union representative for commercial fishing fleet here on the coast. She's always checking up on information. And one day she sees the escapement level, the number of fish that make it past commercial fishermen and to the Babine River, is quite high.
It is the highest number of fish on record since 1990, which is what DFO records go back to on that particular website. But I believe from my records, it's actually the largest escapement into Babine Lake in recorded history.
So Thorkelson revs up her SUV, hits Highway 16, and then turns north for Grand Isle. That's where the Fulton Fence is. And when she arrives, she sees that crimson river of fish. And as she is filming the scene, she has this reaction.
Well, as a, you know, I mean, that's just money. That's similar. I've seen something similar in other days, but maybe not quite as many fish and not after such a particularly bad season. I mean, we've had years we've caught 1.5 million or 2 million, and then we've had, you know, maybe 1.9 go into the lake. And so you still feel, you know, that you should have harvested more. But this time, you know, we only harvested 450,000 pieces, and so, you know, you had 2 million go in the lake.
2 million sockeye salmon going to the lake is not the issue for Thorkelson. It's how many never were allowed to spawn. Each salmon that doesn't spawn and isn't harvested, I should say, is simply a waste.
Right, because they're just dying.
That's right. They're just dying. They have nowhere to go. And considering salmon fishermen were earning about $2.60 per pound of fish, it's conceivable and likely that commercial fishermen are out of a lot of money.
Well, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. First, I'm speaking to Daybreak's George Baker about the number of sockeye that never spawned and were not harvested this summer. Do you have any idea about the actual numbers here?
Well, we asked DFO, and DFO says it doesn't really know. That's the Fisheries and Oceans Canada's acronym. It has estimates, but no firm figure.
And why is it, if they're counting the fish at this at the fences, that they don't have a firm figure?
Well, here's Mel Kodick. He, Mel, is the area director for the North Coast.
Well, as you know, Bebbing Lake is a very large lake. And so once they go past the counting fence in the Bebbing River, and unless they show up at one of the other areas that we actually do counts, such as Pink and Fulton spawning channels, or we have an opportunity to talk to First Nations to see what they harvested for either economic or food purposes, or we talk to the recreational sector to find out how many they caught, the fish simply go into the lake, and then we're just unable to track exactly where they go after that.
So they just disappear?
Yeah, almost poof, gone, like magic. No accounting for the wasted salmon. So those that make it past Bebbing Fence on the Bebbing River and block from Fulton are left to the river. And Kodick estimates that number is anywhere between 500,000 and 750,000. But they don't have hard figures on that. Now, at a base value, if you consider that a sockeye was 1 pound each, of course they weigh a lot more than that. But just at that price, that's anywhere between 1.3 million and almost 2 million in economic value alone. That could stretch up, George Thorkelson says, up to $20 million if we weigh the fish properly. Of course, each fish weighs differently, so that would be a hard figure just to get on its own.
So I can imagine commercial fishermen not being entirely pleased with this. What are they saying?
Well, we know how bad the situation is for small vessel fishermen, especially gillnetters on the North Coast. No longer able to hire deckhands, rarely able to fix their boats. This is devastating news year in and year out. Here's Joy Thorkelson.
People wonder why commercial fishermen are broke, and the reason we're broke is because they put a million fish that can't spawn anywhere. They have nowhere to spawn into the Bebbing Lake, whereas fisheries from the mouth of the Skeena all the way up into the Bebbing Lake could have benefited from that fish.
And Carolina, keep in mind, fish like sockeye have a four-year rule. Next year is expected that the return is going to be massive, as it was back in 2011. Of course, that's an estimate. No one knows what happens when they're out in the ocean. Predation happens, they're hunted, they may be caught by Alaskan fishermen or other ocean vessel fishing fleets. Basically, though, they're expecting a pretty big run next year, and commercial fishermen hope that they will have a better year than they experienced in 2014.
And I guess we'll see the net effects of this salmon die off 4 years from now. Daybreak's George Baker, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Carolina.
He's live in our Prince Rupert studio. You can get in touch with us if you have an idea of a story we should be looking more closely at, doing an investigative story on. Call us, 1-866-340-1932, or send an email to us, daybreaknorth@cbc.ca.